Chapter 16.
Oh, it's going to take us days to search this place.
Gar said, and she looked at me with panicked violet eyes.
I thought Ramir said people lived down here.
Asta frowned.
This looks like it's a marketplace.
It is.
I nodded and gestured to the smaller tunnels that branched off from the larger one we were looking down at.
I'm betting those smaller tunnels lead to people's homes.
Right. And if people live here, it would make sense they need a marketplace. I guess I just hadn't realized how huge this place would be.
I hadn't either. I shook my head.
What are we going to do? We don't know when the king is going to comfort those babies. Yes, and we need to get to the little baby who hatched.
I know, I said, and I pursed my lips in thought for a moment. The area was much larger than I'd expected, but that didn't mean our plan had to change too much. It might even be better for our disguises that the area was so large, since we were less likely to run into someone who knew the people we were disguised as. We could move along the tunnels unnoticed, but the only problem was there were too many tunnels to search in the amount of time we had. Oh, we needed to work with our wits. All right, we can do this, I told the girls.
How?
Cass asked, and she bit her lip. Oh, we're going to do the same thing here that we did at the market in Alfheim.
Good idea.
Ira smirked.
We should be able to spot the arseholes around here pretty quickly.
Yeah. If we walk around and keep an eye out for suspicious-looking giants, I'm sure we can find them. It might take longer than we'd anticipated, but it's our best bet right now.
You're right.
Gas nodded.
The market in Alfheim was huge too, but we spotted the dragon-trading bastards there. If I've learned anything, being in the Vorband, it's that criminals aren't afraid to operate out in the open.
Ira said with a shake of her head.
You would think they would try to avoid being in public.
Asta frowned. Everyone looks in the shadows for someone being suspicious. Nobody expects it to be right in front of them, which is why they operate in plain sight. Most people wouldn't think criminals would be that bold, but they almost always are.
I guess that makes sense.
Cass said, and her strawberry blonde eyebrows pulled together. All right, everyone stay close. I said, and I looked at Blar and Inga. No flying at all, you understand? All four little dragons nodded, and I bit my lip as I looked at where they sat on the girl's shoulders. I think you all should walk on the ground, actually. Except for Svas, you are small enough. Ira can carry you without it looking suspicious. But you need to be in her arms instead of on her shoulders. Blah, Inger, and Ufe hopped down from our shoulders, and I expected Svas to stay in Ira's arms, but the little yellow dragon flew down to join them.
Are you sure?
Ira asked her, but Svas just nodded and then looked at me with determined pink eyes. The little dragon already felt an incredible sense of loyalty to us all, and even though she was small, I knew she understood what was happening to her brethren, and would do whatever she could to stop it. Cass? Can you, make us some leashes?
I'm sure I can.
She answered before she reached over and pulled out a strand of Iris hair.
Ow!
The redhead squeaked, and she turned to look at Cass with horrified green eyes.
What the fuck? Sorry. I need something to make the leashes from, and your hair is the longest. You could have just asked.
The redhead said with a terrifying glare.
I figured it would hurt less if it was a surprise.
Cass smiled and ignored Iris' attempt to scare her. We'd all seen the softer side of the redhead by now, so it was hard to take her glare seriously.
I don't think that's how it works. We've been in battle with you several times, and I've never heard you say ow.
Asta noted as she cocked her head to the side curiously.
Are you all right? I don't get hurt in battle. Are you hurt now?
Asta asked, and her yellow eyes were full of concern. Her blatant innocence was all that saved her from seeming like a total asshole for calling Ira out on squealing at a little hair pull, and I couldn't help but snicker into my hand.
I guess not,
Ira said dryly, and she turned to me and pointed a thumb at Asta.
Teach your elves some manners.
Sorry, I laughed and shrugged. She doesn't know any better.
I was only inquiring if you were injured.
Asta frowned at the beautiful red-headed warband leader.
I know, I know.
Ira chuckled and rolled her eyes, and then she playfully pushed the elf girl on the arm.
Next time don't bring it up if I say ow, okay? Okay, I will not say a word.
Asta said as she put her hand over her mouth.
All done.
Cass announced, and she handed each of us a leash. The lead looked and felt exactly like real rope, but I knew it was just her illusion magic. Still, it would do the job, and it would also ensure the dragons could easily break free if they needed to. "Thank you," I told the strawberry blonde as I took the leash. Once we got all the dragons hooked up to their leashes, I nodded and led everyone down the huge ice steps. Bla pulled on the lead, and I had to hold it steady to stop him from trying to take off. "Behave," I told him, and I looked over at where all the other little dragons walked easily in front of the girls. I rolled my eyes at my blue buddy, and he glared and then rolled his eyes back at me, as if he were mocking my gesture. He stopped pulling the leash, though, so I just shrugged it off and continued down the steps. The market was incredibly crowded and loud, and it was filled with vendors and smells I'd never had the pleasure of inhaling before. I was surprised to find the Jotunheim food smelled so good, and I wasn't sure if it actually smelled delicious or if I was simply hungry. Either way, I was determined to get some before we left. It almost felt wrong to think about buying food from my realm's enemies, but I knew the majority of these frost giants were just average citizens, trying to live their lives and sell their wares. It didn't hurt to give them a few coins for a scrumptious meal, and we probably had some time to kill anyway. I led the girls through the crowd, and I even saw a couple of other frost giants with snow leopards on leashes, though they were much larger than the little dragons appeared to be. A few citizens saw the babies and smiled at them, but nobody approached to ask to pet them like they usually did in Asgard. As we walked through the market, I glanced at all the booths around us. Some of them looked just like Asgardian booths, with large tunics, weapons, and armor for sale. There were a few differences, namely in the size of the clothing and armor, but, well, overall it felt almost like home. There was a huge frost giant female behind a booth to our right, and all over the wooden walls were pegs with jewelry hung on them. There were necklaces, bracelets, rings, and even chains that looked like they were meant to be worn on the hips and feet. Most of the jewelry was made with silver, and there were various stones set in them. A lot of the gems were blue in color, but there were a very few that were red, green, and gold.
"Oh, everything is beautiful,"
Asta said with a smile as she glanced around.
"And it smells wonderful. Yeah, it's making me hungry. Me too."
Ira agreed before she lowered her voice.
"Rat found some coins on the man he killed earlier. We did too."
"We should have plenty," I nodded. "Should we find some food?"
"It can't hurt,"
Ira shrugged.
"We're going to be here a while, right? I always focus better if I'm full."
"All right," I said, and I gestured all around us. "You all pick." Asta bit her lip and closed her eyes as she smelled the air.
"Everything smells so good. I don't know which one to choose." "Me either. I've never had Jotunheim food. I don't even know where to start."
"Ira?"
"I've never had their food either."
The redhead shook her head.
"But everything smells good. I'm okay with whatever Cass and Asta decide."
Bla tugged on my leash, and I looked down to see the little dragon staring at a vendor up to the right. A large piece of meat hung from the ceiling of the booth, and the frost giant behind the counter carved off pieces of it for his customers. "Well, Bla seems to like that one."
"That one does look good,"
Asta said, and she turned to me and bounced on the balls of her feet.
"Can we get it?"
"Yes, of course," I nodded. "But you might want to avoid jumping up and down."
"Why?"
the white-haired elf girl asked, and she looked at me with round yellow eyes of concern.
Because to everyone around, you look like a massive frost giant warrior. I doubt they're usually seen bouncing around." "Oh, yes, you're right."
Asta straightened her shoulders and lifted her chin.
"I must play the part. Much better."
Kaa smiled. Bla tugged on his leash again, and I was suddenly regretting my idea to give them leashes in the first place. "All right, let's go." The girls and I made our way over to the booth, and as soon as we stepped up to order, Bla put his paws on the front of the counter so he could get a better look at the meat. "Get down!" I hissed. The last thing we needed was to attract attention. The little blue dragon rolled his eyes, but he did as requested, and I waited for the vendor to approach me.
"What'll it be?"
the man asked after a moment. He was extremely tall and wide enough to match, with dark blue skin, bright yellow teeth, and a nose that looked like it had been broken a time or two. 8 plates of meat, I told him. You're getting plates for the kids as well? He asked, and he raised a dark eyebrow at me. I'd never heard that term before, but I assumed kits meant kittens. Yeah, they get hungry too, I shrugged. In this sort of situation, it was best to keep things brief. The goal was to be forgettable as soon as we walked away. We wanted to blend into the crowd as best as we could. Suppose you're right, the man chuckled, and he grabbed some plates made of ice and started to dish meat onto them. He also put some strange vegetables I'd never seen before on top of the meat, and he topped it all off with a foreign red sauce. 8 copper, he told me. Here you go, I said, and I handed him the money. Next! The man called as the girls and I grabbed the plates and walked over to a nearby table. It seemed everything here was made of ice. The plates were a very thin ice, the table and chairs were made of ice, and, well, of course, the entire cave system was too.
I feel as though our food is going to be cold.
Asta frowned.
It's probably meant to be eaten cold.
Kaa shrugged.
Maybe you're right.
The white-haired elf girl mused as she looked down at her plate.
Hot or cold, it smells fucking delicious.
Ira said as we took our seats. Bla hopped up on the bench next to me, but I quickly pushed him back down and set the dragon's plate on the ground. I'm sorry, I told him as he glared at me. But I don't see anybody else letting their snow leopards eat at the table. I don't know the protocol here, and I'd rather not attract attention. Bla shook his head, but he was too excited about the meat to stay mad for long. The little lizard devoured his food, and I turned my attention back to my own plate.
Fuck yes.
Ira groaned through a mouthful of food.
Ratu, I'll try this. It's so good.
It sounds like it.
Delicious.
Kaa nodded and covered her mouth as she chewed.
It's warmer than I expected, too.
Asta added as she picked up a large piece of meat and shoved it in her mouth. I'm glad you all like it, I told them, and I picked up my own piece of meat. Well, the vendor hadn't given us any utensils, so I figured it was meant to be eaten with our hands. And even if it wasn't, we were disguised as huge warriors, so I doubted anybody would remark on our eating habits. I bit into the sauce-covered meat, and immediately my taste buds exploded with flavor. The dish was spicy, so spicy it cleared my sinuses right away, and I almost coughed from the heat of it. Asta was right, it was warmer than I figured, but it seemed the ice plate had cooled it down to perfect eating temperature, and I was sure that was some sort of special Jotunheim trick these people used all the time. The meat was absolutely delicious, even though I didn't know what it was, and I quickly finished off my plate and fought the urge to lick it clean.
Oh, this is the most delicious thing ever,
Kaa said, but when her violet eyes caught mine, they grew as wide as saucers.
Oh, I didn't mean better than your food, of course, Rat.
It's okay. It really is very good.
I don't think I've ever had something so spicy, but I like it.
Yes, neither have I. While the girls finished their meals, I carefully watched the marketplace for any suspicious activity. The place was crowded, and all I could see were frost giant families, couples and solo individuals out buying wares from the booths. There were plenty of vendors to choose from, even in the small area I could see, and the place was packed with booths on either side of the main street. The vendors were so close together that most of their booths were touching, and they ranged from food to jewelry to clothes to potions. It seemed they didn't have the same system in place as the Asgardian marketplace did, where the vendors would set up booths near other vendors with the same wares. This was a free-for-all, and I kind of liked how it gave the consumer the opportunity to walk all around looking for just the right booth. Another vendor with jewelry caught my eye. The craftsmanship was beautiful, and I wanted nothing more than to run over and buy each of my women something special. But we had a mission to do, and I needed to focus on that over everything else. I made sure to look over at the girls every now and then as they chatted, but my attention was really focused on the market all around me. I saw plenty of frost giant children running around, though they were nearly the size of Asgardians, at least in height. It was almost strange to see my born enemies appear so incredibly normal. But I knew the war wasn't about any of us. It was about things far back in the past that only kings truly cared about. Most Jotunheim citizens probably didn't even care about the Asgardians and the war with them anymore. I would imagine it was like it was with us, where we were told to hate them from the time we were children. We personally had no reason to hate them, but our realms were at war, and that meant we had to despise the other species altogether. Still, seeing the sweet families walk through the marketplace warmed my heart, and I thought about how ridiculous the war was in the first place. The two realms didn't need to be feuding any longer. It had gone on long enough. If my time dealing with the dragon trade had taught me anything, it was that anybody was capable of evil, no matter their lineage. I'd seen elves, Asgardians, dwarves, and frost giants all with their hand in the dragon trade. Nobody, besides children, were innocent. But not everybody was guilty. I couldn't penalize all frost giants for the actions of a few, just like I couldn't penalize all the elves, and I hoped nobody would penalize all Asgardians. After all, it was two Asgardians, a half-Valkyrie and an elf out working to save all the dragons. We were a strange group, but we were trying to undo the sins of all the different peoples, not just the frost giants. After a few moments, I started to suspect we were in the very nice area of the marketplace. The wares were incredibly well made, and the clothing and fabric I saw for sale was made of high-end silks and some other strange materials I presumed were native to Jotunheim. We needed to find the dirty part of town. While Ira and I agreed most of the criminals we'd known operated in plain sight, a lot of their clientele wouldn't come to this area to try and buy some illegal product. The deals would be done in the open, but they probably would be in the part of the market where there were less valuable wares around. Not only would the area have less people, but since the wares were mid-range, they'd be less memorable to whoever passed by. Nobody would be focusing on the other frost giants in the area, because they wouldn't be focusing on anything other than getting to the better part of the market. The only problem was that I had no idea where the poorer part of the market would be, and it would be incredibly suspicious to ask. Nobody would want to go to that area without a reason, and I didn't want to give anybody a reason to follow us.
So, where are we off to now?
Asta asked once everyone had finished their meals. We need to do some looking around. This appears to be the really nice part of the marketplace, but we need to find the area without so many high-end wares.
I guess it would make sense most of the really expensive stuff would be right here.
Cass nodded.
This is pretty close to the entrance.
Right, but we need to find the areas where there are less people.
Where should we begin?
Ira asked as she looked around curiously.
Well, there's really only one way to go right now.
Cass shrugged.
This is a huge tunnel, but nothing branches off until a little further down.
You're right. We'll walk down the market and see how we feel about the tunnels we come across first. We might want to wait until a few tunnels down to try and branch off.
It would be a lot easier to navigate if there were signs or something. I haven't seen a single sign saying where anything is. These people all live here. I wouldn't imagine they need signs.
Maybe not, but we have signs in Asgard.
Yes, but we also get plenty of visitors in Asgard. I doubt the frost giants have many visitors from other realms.
Yes, that's true.
The redhead nodded.
Most people probably don't know about the ice caves. We didn't even know this place existed until Ramir told us.
I wonder how he knew. Do you think he disguised himself as a frost giant too? I doubt it.
Kaa shook her head.
My father has never judged anyone based on their species, and I've known him to have dealings with dwarves, elves, and even the gods of Vanaheim, so I wouldn't doubt he has frost giant customers, too.
Your father has dealings with the Vanaheim gods?
Ira asked, and her green eyes went wide with shock.
I've never actually seen any of them.
Kaa shook her head.
He has this magic little box, and if they need something, a note appears in it. He makes the item, puts it in the box, it disappears, and the money appears. That's incredible.
Asta breathed, but then she shuddered.
I still hate that place, though.
Yes, not my favorite either.
You all have been to Vanaheim?
Ira asked, and her jaw nearly fell to the floor. Once, I nodded, and we don't care to go back.
How was it?
She asked, clearly too excited to pay close attention to what I said.
It's supposed to be the most beautiful of all the realms.
Also the most poisonous. The air is some sort of drug, and we were all loopy from breathing it in.
Asta and I danced naked in a field for 12 hours while Rat laid in the grass.
Cass grumbled as her cheeks flared a ruby red.
Damn, sounds like a good time. Hardly. How did you all make it back if you were intoxicated from the air?
Well, after Bla, Inger, and Ufe finished gorging themselves on berries, they decided to wake me up, just in time to get us back through the portal that had already started to close, I said, and I glared down at the little dragons. Bla looked up and away from me, as if he had no idea what I was talking about.
This was before we knew about Blar's teleportation abilities.
Oh, wow. Their little bellies nearly got you stuck in the realm forever.
As luckily, they came around. I shook my head.
Yes, luckily.
Cass chuckled and stood up.
We should go.
Right, I nodded. All right, everyone act natural. Feel free to wander over to the booths if you see anything suspicious. We don't want to appear as though we aren't here to shop at all.
Okay.
Ira agreed as she looked round.
There's so many families here, I don't think I've ever seen a frost giant family.
Are you surprised by that?
No.
Ira shook her head.
Anytime I've been in this realm, I've taken several lives out of it. I'm not surprised, I've never seen a family. I'm sure they try to stay as hidden as they can.
Yes, I thought the same thing. It's odd to have their realm seem so similar to ours.
Yeah.
Ira pursed her lips and jerked her chin toward one of the booths.
We've always been told how savage the frost giants were. But look at that family over there. The dad has the little girl on his shoulders. I've seen Asgardian parents do the same thing. But seeing such a mundane thing here, it's really eye-opening.
Let's not forget we're here to find the arseholes who stole dragon eggs.
Right.
The redhead said, and she tore her emerald eyes away from the frost giant family.
It seems like someone from every realm is involved with this horrific trade.
As it does appear that way. It's incredibly sad to see how widespread it is. The girls nodded, and we started to walk down the main strip of the marketplace. Every now and then a cart would come by, but for the most part it was just a whole lot of frost giants out shopping for the day. The further we got down the marketplace, the more elaborate the booths became, until there were actual buildings carved into the ice around us. Some of them appeared to be pubs, but I could only guess that based off the clientele who stood outside with huge glasses of some dark-colored liquid.
I think we're in the pub district,
Carr said after a few moments.
We should go in a couple,
Ira suggested, and a mischievous smile played across her lips.
Bars are a great place to find criminals.
Yes, I'm sure you're right.
How about that one?
Asta asked as she pointed to a building that took up a large area of the ice cavern wall. The structure of the building was made of ice, but it had been dyed a dark blue, and a huge sign hung above the door with some strange-looking flowers on it. All right, let's try that one. The sweet elf girl led us over to the bar, and she pulled the huge door open so we could step inside. The place was dark, with only candles to light up the room with a faint orange glow. Immediately my nose was assaulted with an incredibly strong floral scent, and I wrinkled my nose in response to the intensity of the smell.
Where do we order drinks?
Asta asked as she looked around.
Oh, are you looking for a drink?
A huge frost giant woman asked as she came out of the shadows.
We can help with whatever you'd like.
Another one said, and she walked over to Ira and started to stroke her face as she leaned her body against the redhead.
Of course we can,
the first giant said. And it dawned on me then, all she was wearing was a small pair of panties that barely covered her private parts, and a see-through tunic so her blue breasts were fully visible. Asta? I said through the side of my mouth. I don't think we're in a bar.
What are you talking about? They just said they could help us.
She turned to one of the frost giant women.
We'd like to be served, please. Do you have mead?
We can serve you.
Another woman with only a piece of fabric tied around her breasts and waist, said, and she walked over and grabbed Asta's hand to try and pull her into the darkness.
Oh, no.
Cass said as she grabbed Asta and pulled her toward the door.
Go on, everyone, let's go.
Blah tugged on my leash as he tried to get to one of the females, but I just pulled him away, waved at the women, and stepped back out into the marketplace. Once we were back on the street, a couple of men walking by nodded and smiled at us, as if we were in on some dirty little secret, and I realized we were still standing directly in front of the brothel. Come on, I said, and I led the girls down the main path and took a deep breath to clear my head.
What was that?
Asta asked with an innocent frown.
It was clearly a brothel.
Ira rolled her eyes and laughed.
You led us into a brothel. A brothel?
The elf girl asked, and her white eyebrows pinched together with confusion.
What's that? Seriously? You don't know what a brothel is? No?
Asta shook her head.
Are there any in Asgard? A couple. I've never been.
Yes, that's clear.
So what is it? Are they fun?
Kaz leaned in and whispered something in her ear.
No!
The elf girl gasped and covered her mouth.
Afraid so.
Kaz nodded.
Oh, I'm so embarrassed I brought us in there!
It's all right. You couldn't have known.
Maybe not, but it's still embarrassing.
The white-haired elf girl's cheeks were bright red, and she put her face in her hands.
There's no need to look so mortified. I'm sure Rat's been in a brothel or two.
The redhead winked at me, but I just shook my head. Oh, not once, I said honestly.
Really?
Ira asked, and she jerked her head back with surprise. Oh, really? I shrugged. I never saw the point. The redhead regarded me coolly.
I'm sure all the men in my war band visited the brothels after a good victory.
Oh, well, they do. I've just never gone with them.
You continue to surprise me, Volrat. You know that?
Ira asked with a smile and a shake of her head. It had been a long time since I'd heard Ira use my whole name, and I liked it more than I remembered. We continued down the main path of the market until we found another bar. This one had a window where passers-by could order a glass of booze, as well as a small seating area in front of the pub. I walked over and ordered 4 pints, but the man looked at me strangely and gave me 4 huge glasses of some sort of dark liquid I assumed was the Jotunheim version of mead. I passed out the drinks and took a sip of the dark ale. The drink was not nearly as sweet as mead, but it was earthy, spicy, and flavorful, and I took another sip as I sat at the table with the girls and looked out to the main street of the market.
I haven't seen anything even remotely suspicious yet.
Ira grumbled around the rim of her own mug.
Whoever's doing this is good at hiding.
I know.
Cass pursed her lips.
I thought we would have seen something by now.
It's only been a couple of hours. We'll stay as long as it takes.
What if we don't find anything tonight?
Asta asked with a frown. Well, then we'll come back tomorrow. We have to find those eggs before the king gets a hold of them.
There's no telling how many he'd break trying to cast his terrible little spells.
Ira muttered, and she took a long drink.
I hadn't considered that.
Cass said, as her strawberry blonde eyebrows pulled together.
It was the first thing I considered.
Ira shook her head.
I've been around enough magic to see it not go well, and I can't imagine he's going to get that spell right on the first try.
Even just one little dragon egg being cracked would be horrendous. How can he live with himself?
Isn't this the same arsehole who locked you in his dungeon? I've seen plenty of kings in different realms, and they're almost always terrible.
It's because they think they can do whatever they want.
Cass growled, and her fist clenched on the table.
It makes me so mad.
It's all right. We're going to catch these dragon-trading bastards. Just keep an eye out for anybody who looks like they're trying to blend in.
Isn't that what we're doing? Trying to blend in?
It is, I nodded. So you should be able to spot it, right?
Good point.
The white-haired elf girl nodded.
I was looking for wagons or large bags that could be carrying eggs, but maybe I should look for people like us.
Well, there's no guarantee that whoever we see will have eggs on them at the moment. But we'll need to check out anybody who looks even remotely suspicious.
Okay.
Cass nodded, and the girls all drank their ale as we looked around at the frost giants passing by. The dragon slept near our feet as we watched the market, and I could hear Blah snoring lightly underneath me. We'd certainly made it to a different part of the market. This area had a lot of pubs, as well as weapon and armor vendors, but surprisingly it was still extremely busy. There were more single males or groups of men traveling in this area. Most of them stumbled slightly as they walked along the icy path, and they laughed much too loudly at the terrible jokes their friends made. After about half an hour, I figured it was best to try and move on, but as I was about to tell the girls my plan, a single male caught my attention. He was tall and thin, with a bald head and bright icy blue eyes. He wore a dark blue tunic and pants to match, with boots, a sword on his hip, and a satchel strewn over his shoulder. What caught my eye, though, was the fact that his sword didn't look well used. He clearly wasn't in a warband of any sort, based on how nice and pristine his weapon was, and there were no visible scars on his body either. The male also wasn't stumbling like most people in this area. He walked at a reasonable pace, headed deeper into the caverns, and every few steps he looked around, as if to make sure nobody had noticed him. He was definitely trying to blend in, and to most people he did, but not to me. I knew exactly what he was doing, and whether or not he was involved with the dragon trade remained to be seen, but at the moment he was our best option. Ladies, there's a man heading further into the caves. He's tall and bald. Do you see him?
No.
Kaa shook her head, but then she narrowed her eyes as she looked closer.
Wait, yes.
Okay, don't stare, I said, and the strawberry blonde casually looked down at her drink.
He looks suspicious,
Ira said, and she turned to lock eyes with me.
He's not drunk like everyone else here, and that sword is too nice to be in a warband.
There's my thoughts exactly, I grinned.
Who, does that mean we found one of the traitors?
Asta asked, and she smiled and bounced up and down slightly on the seat. Maybe, I nodded. We can't say for sure, not yet at least. But right now I think it's in our best interests to follow this guy and see where he goes.
How are we going to follow him without him noticing? He keeps looking around.
Yes, you're right. Let's split up. Asta, Ira, you two go ahead. Walk quickly and act like you belong here. Turn into random caves if you need to, and then you can wait for us to pass by and come back out again.
Good idea.
Ira nodded.
As long as we act oblivious and drunk, he probably won't pay too much attention to us.
Exactly. Kaa, you're with me. Let's go.
Come on,
Ira said, and she pulled Asta up by the arm, grabbed their half-full drinks, and quickly spilled some on Asta's chest.
What the fuck?
Asta exclaimed, and I was surprised to hear her curse.
Why did you do that?
The white-haired elf girl tried to brush away the booze, but it had already seeped into her tunic, and from the side of her armor I could see the fabric cling to her wet breasts.
To keep up appearances, we need to smell drunk.
Oh.
Asta blinked, and then she frowned.
Well, you could have warned me. That wouldn't have been nearly as much fun.
The redhead grinned. Before I could even blink, Asta took her drink and splashed Ira with it.
Nice. Okay, let's go. We don't have to do that, do we?
Kaa whispered after Ira and Asta disappeared into the crowd. No. I shook my head. Just carry your drink and stumble a bit.
Got it.
The sorceress and I stood up and joined the crowd as we headed further into the tunnels. The men were loud and obnoxious as they stumbled along the street, but we simply laughed along every now and then to keep up appearances. The man we were tailing didn't seem to notice us when he looked back, or if he did notice us, we were playing the part well enough that he believed we were simply drunk and walking in the same direction as him. I scanned the crowd and eventually found Ira and Asta about 10 paces ahead of the man. I wasn't sure how they'd managed to get that far in front of him, but I wasn't surprised either. The two women were resourceful, and I knew they'd be able to handle whatever task I threw at them. The ice caves seemed to get a little bit darker as we walked, and I realized it wasn't the caves themselves, but it was getting dark outside. We'd been in Jotunheim all day, and while I thought we were on a similar schedule to the Asgardian one, I figured the days here were probably a little bit shorter with the perpetual winter. There were still vendors here and there, but eventually it seemed we entered the part of the city where people lived. There were houses carved into the sides of the ice caves, and tunnels led to more and more houses. Eventually, Ast and Ira drunkenly stumbled down a tunnel to the right, and the bald-headed man continued going straight. Kass and I made sure to keep our distance, but there were still plenty of people around, so it wasn't too difficult to remain unnoticed. Besides, this was the area of town where people lived, so it wouldn't be too strange for several people to be walking in the same direction for a while. After Kass and I passed the tunnel where Ira and Asta turned, the two of them reappeared behind us.
Hey!
Ira whispered as she and Asta caught up with us.
Have you seen anything yet?
Not yet. I shook my head. He hasn't seemed to really notice us, but we're entering where people live, so we can't follow him through here forever.
Right.
Suddenly, the man turned down a small tunnel to the left. The girls and I continued to walk, and after we passed the tunnel, we quickly backtracked and peered down into it. The man was the only one walking in there, which was bad news for us. There was no way we'd be able to follow him easily now. Oh, shite.
That tunnel is much smaller than most of the ones around here.
It does look that way. The tunnel was just a few feet taller than the bald-headed man, and only wide enough for three or four frost giants to stand inside. It was dimly lit, and the man seemed to disappear into the darkness after just a moment.
We're going to lose him.
You're right. Everyone be quiet and follow my lead if we get caught.
Right.
Kass nodded. If I wasn't sure about this guy being a criminal before, I was definitely sure now. This dark, dingy tunnel wasn't somewhere I thought a regular Jotunheim citizen would venture. The man's sword had to be worth at least 100 gold pieces, and he clearly didn't belong in this part of the neighborhood. Not to mention there was nobody else in this particular tunnel. Every other tunnel we'd passed by had at least a few people moseying in and out of it, but he was the only one inside this tunnel, and that seemed incredibly suspicious to me.
How are we going to be able to see?
She has a point.
Ira bit her lip.
We can't exactly have the dragons light our veil like we did earlier.
Are you forgetting about the spell I used when we went to Svartalheim? Give me just a second, and I'll make it so we can see in the dark.
I did forget about that. Good idea.
Kass rolled her eyes, but then she held her hands out and whispered something in the old language. I was always fascinated by her spells, and I wished I'd known more of our mother tongue. I hadn't bothered to learn a lot of words, only the basics, but Kass was definitely fluent with all the spells she did. I closed my eyes as red magic sparkles swirled around me, and once I opened them again, I was able to see further down the tunnel than before. There was a curve just past where my vision had been limited before, but I could see it now, and I figured the man had to have gone that way. "Come on," I whispered, and I carefully led the girls into the darkness. The busy street disappeared behind us, and as we walked, it was immediately clear this tunnel wasn't like any of the others. All the other tunnels we'd passed were lit up, but more than that, they seemed to have houses built into the walls, where this one had nothing. That was the truly eerie part. There were no vendor booths, no storefronts, or homes carved into the ice. There was nothing down this tunnel, and the hair on the back of my neck stood up the further we got into the place. With a cave system so vast, it wouldn't be out of the ordinary for there to be a tunnel or two that didn't lead anywhere except maybe out or to another part of the cave system. However, I didn't get that feeling from this tunnel. We made it to the corner the man had turned down, and up ahead I could see him still walking along. He was less cautious now, and he seemed utterly unconcerned with who might be behind him. He wasn't in any sort of a hurry, either. He walked along, leisurely, and I wondered just what his involvement in this was. Most criminals I'd met weren't leisurely people. They tended to get things done fast, but this man didn't seem to be walking with any sort of quickness. The girls and I watched as the man walked up to what seemed to be the end of the tunnel, but once he got there, he grabbed onto a large chunk of ice that stuck out from the wall and slid it to the side. There was another cave at the end of the tunnel, and inside I could see it was the same room as the one I'd been in as the baby dragon. The walls were lined with shelves full of dragon eggs, and the little baby I'd seen was now in a cage on a small desk at the back of the room. There were four other frost giants in there already, and they sat on stools made of ice and went through some chests. They carefully removed eggs and placed them on the shelves next to the others.
Oh, bastards! They must have just got more. Probably to make sure they have enough for the king. But where are they getting them from?
Gas mused, and her violet eyes narrowed on the cavern at the end of the tunnel.
Do you think they're going to Alfheim themselves?
It's possible, but it seems we've definitely found the right place.
The man we'd been following opened his satchel, and then he pulled out a large green egg and handed it to one of the other giants. I couldn't hear what they were saying because we were too far away, but the man held the egg up and turned it over in his hands to get a good look at it. He nodded and handed it back to the man we'd followed, who then put the egg on the wall.
Do you think that guy is the one getting them all?
I don't know. I shook my head and narrowed my eyes even more.
So what's our plan here? Right now we have the element of surprise.
Right. Let's have Cass use her invisibility spell so we can sneak up there and attack without being seen.
Good idea.
Asta nodded.
Give me Justus again.
Cass started to say, but she didn't get to finish. Svas had stepped on a slippery patch, and the little dragon let out a high-pitched squeal as she flew a few feet across the ice. But what was worse was that she got scared and instinctively breathed out a small fire blast. Cass's violet eyes landed on mine, and they were wide with horror.
Maybe they didn't notice?
I looked at the cavern at the end of the tunnel, and all of the frost giants were walking toward the door. Their faces were contorted with anger as they reached for their weapons and bared their yellow teeth.
They noticed.